I want to look at Jesus today, this thought, Jesus is the image of God. And how did that happen? The Bible says when the fullness of time came, maybe you know there's a God has a season and a time for everything. And a lot of times we want to plant green beans today and eat them tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. God has a season. And we see that right here. The Bible says when the fullness of time came, when God's perfect time came, God sent forth his son born of a woman. Now how did the eternal son of God take on human flesh and become one of us? How in the world did that happen? He was born of a woman. That's what theologians call the incarnation. That means the spirit of the living creator God, the spirit of Christ, took on human flesh. And it's called the incarnation because he became one of us. Amen. But the spirit in him was God. Amen. A lot of people still don't get that. Amen. Been saved for years and they don't really understand it. It's important if you understand exactly who he was because he lives in you. And when you know who he is and you know he lives in you, it changes the way you walk. Yeah. And the way you talk and the way you live. Don't mess with me, the Son of God's living in me. You say, amen. Devil, bug off. You see how important this is. It all ties together to your walk in faith in this life. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I just feel like God said that to a lot of people today. Fear not, for you have found favor with me, and I'm with you. And you don't have to worry about every little thing that goes wrong at Christmas. You don't have to worry about that cousin that's always smarting off at you at Christmas. Okay. You can be full of the Holy Spirit so powerfully so that God will mellow that guy out. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1 verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Even gave her the name. Then said Mary, verse 34, unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's still the question. How in the world could this happen? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the Spirit of the living Creator God shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This conception was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in this baby was the Son of God. 100%. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son born of a woman. The Son of God was born of a woman. Get that in your heart and mind. If you're born of a woman, guess what you are? You're human. You are a spirit in a body, and that's what Jesus was. He was a spirit in a body, except his spirit was God. The Son of God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Son of God, who has been God, as long as God has been God, took on human flesh. If one is born of a woman, he, she is human. And John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. The eternal Spirit of the Son of God took on human flesh, the same flesh that you have, and dwelleth among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the unique Son of God. When it says begotten, the only begotten, it means the unique Son of God. God did not create Jesus Christ. He's been God as long as been God. The unique thing was that he took on human flesh and lived among us. That's what makes him unique. And a lot of people, some teach, well, God created Jesus Christ. He's just another man. No, 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 no. That loses the whole the power of it to know that the living Son of God came and died for us and now he lives in us to empower us to do the things he did. You see, the unique Son, God made flesh. 1 John 4:2, and all these verses are so very important. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Anyone who says he did not come in human flesh is not of God. Amen. They're deceiver and they're of the enemy. Plain as plain can be. Thereby know ye that the Spirit of God. Thereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, this is where you know that it's a true man or woman of God speaking by the knowing of the Holy Spirit, that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and is of God. Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. That person is of God that says Jesus Christ was born a human being just like you and me. That person is of God. Amen. Just reading the Bible. Isn't it fun? The Son of God has become flesh, fully God and fully man. 100% both. Philippians 2:6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. And that is something that really we need to understand. If he was truly God, why didn't he look like it? Why didn't he radiate the glory of God everywhere he went? Because he emptied himself voluntarily. He did not live and operate as a man. As God. He lived and operated as a man. He walked on water as a man by faith. I don't know why that was because he's God. Well, then Peter was God. See how smart I am? You can do what he did because he's alive and well and he will enable you to do it. It doesn't make you God. But he enables you to do things that only God can do. Amen. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges, taking the form of a bondservant and been made in the likeness of men. He operated just like you and me. Why? To show us how we could live in victory and defeat our enemy. We preached on spiritual warfare. How did Jesus defeat the devil? When he was tempted at the end of the long fast, in that long period of temptation, what did he say? It is written. How do we defeat the devil? The sword of the Spirit. It is written. With his stripes I'm healed. The Lord is the strength of my life. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. How did I learn that? I learned it from Jesus. He's also my teacher by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He emptied himself of all divine rights and privilege, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. You see, he was made flesh like us. Amen. Looked like us, talked like us, acted like us, except he was God. Amen. And he was righteous. So why in the world did God have to do that? Because God needed a righteous man to die in your place. I couldn't die in your place because I was all messed up just like you. And you can die in my place because you just all messed up like me. But this man was righteous. What a unique plan. People say, well, those disciples just made that up. A human beings didn't have the ability to even think like that. To think that there's a Trinity God and one part the Son came and took on flesh, born of a woman. There's no man ever think of anything like that. That'd have to be God. Only God would know he needed a righteous servant to die in my place. How would I ever figure that out? Verse 8, how would you ever figure that out? Verse 8, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. No man dreamed this up. Jesus is human. Jesus is God. Christians believe that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. That is the definition of a cult. Someone who does not believe, some group of people who teach that Jesus Christ was not fully God and fully man, we call them a cult. And you can't go to heaven if you do not believe that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, because if he wasn't fully God and fully man, he wasn't a righteous man and you couldn't die in your place. Amen. For Christ Found my place here. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be fully God and fully human? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ, the Messiah himself, died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. He was righteous. He died for us who were unrighteous, the just for the just, the innocent for the guilty, that he might bring us to God in his human body. He was put to death and he was made alive. And the Greek really says he quickened by the Spirit, quickened by the Holy Spirit, and his body that was dead was raised from the dead, and the Spirit of Christ and his body was reunited. And when the disciples watched him ascend into heaven, he took his body with him. There's a human and a Godhead right now because of this story. Amen. Why is that important? Because we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He lived as a man. He knows what it's like to step on a thorn. He knows what it's like to have a nail driven through your feet and your hands. Well, nobody knows what I'm going through. There's one who does. And he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. You see how this builds faith when you really know and understand what happened here? He's not just another man. And not only did he pay the full price for you, the Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead. If you don't believe in the Trinity, how are you going to get him out of the ground? God raised him from the dead. His human body raised from the dead. That's why you have hope that your body's going to be raised from the dead. Without that, we don't have any hope, according to Paul and according to common sense. If he didn't come out of the ground, we're not going to come out either. For someone to die in my place and pay for my sins, he had to be righteous. No human could die for my sins because all humans were contaminated with sin, just like me. Because Jesus was the Son of God in the flesh, he was righteous. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's a good reason for us to believe God enabled us to live righteous, because a righteous man died in my place that I might be righteous. And you have to know you're righteous. You can't go around saying, well, I'm just a dirty old sinner. No, because the devil beat you up with that. He'll tell you, well, you're not worthy because you're just a dirty old sinner. You got to be able to say, because Jesus Christ died for me, took away my sins, I am righteous. Therefore, I am worthy. He paid a high price that I might be righteous. Well, you don't always act righteous. Well, neither do you. We're all in this thing together. Can you say amen? And the reason we don't always act righteous is because we live in human flesh. And this flesh just likes stuff. And sometimes you just get tempted and you wind up doing something you didn't mean to do. And so we don't always look or act righteous or talk righteous, especially in Knoxville traffic. Look at you sitting there looking so holy. Thank you, Jesus. But we are righteous. Amen. Because a righteous man shed his blood. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a hard life. Amen. You got to believe you're righteous. Yes. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Tell that spirit of condemnation where to go. God's given you authority to bring every thought captive. Jesus could do this, die in my place, because he was righteous, the righteous for the unrighteous. Now look, Jesus Christ was born of a woman, and he is the image of God. When we see Jesus, we see God. When you're reading the Gospels, that's God at work. Whatever you see Jesus doing, that is 100% the will of God. Jesus did not come and to show us the Father by doing certain things and then go back to heaven and change it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you see him delivering people, setting people free from demonic spirits and powers, that's what God wants. If you see him forgiving people and loving on people, you know, and telling that wicked woman, go and sin no more, I do not condemn you when you see him saying that. He's saying that as God. That's the will of God, that you be forgiven and that you accept that forgiveness. Amen. And when you see him healing people, working miracles to help people, that is the will of God. When you see him helping Peter catch fish so he can sell them and pay his taxes and all the other things he has to do, when you see Jesus helping Peter do that and others do that, that's the will of God. That's God. He wants to help you catch fish. Jesus Christ was born of a woman, and he is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Is this helping anybody? You need to write these scriptures down. It took me a lot of work to get all these scriptures together. And years, really, to get them all lined up just like they are through praying and fasting. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. If you're blinded to this and you're sitting there saying, no, I don't believe this, you've been blinded by the devil you don't believe in probably. Hello. I'm trying to be nice. This is Christmas, so. It's still true. If you don't believe the word of God, you've been blinded by the devil. I didn't write this. The God of this age, the prince of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is the image of God? Satan. The God of this age, of this world, has always had hypocritical liars, even in the pulpit, saying that Jesus is just another human. This secular generation that we live in is boldly proclaiming he is not God. Well, they're going to have a big surprise one of these days when they stand before him as the judge of the universe. That Jesus is the image of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Why did he take on flesh? Because so we could see the invisible God, because he's no longer invisible. Whoa. Just reading it. He is the image, this human being, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That means he was the first one raised from the dead, and then we get to be raised from the dead also. Amen. We must study this man, Jesus, because in him we see God. Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Did you know all that was in the Bible? You probably do if you've been coming to church here for a while. Because that's what I preach, the Word of God, the Bible. I don't have time for football stories. And as we all already know, we don't have a lot of good football stories. Jesus is the exact representation of God. When we see Jesus, we see what God is like. Whatever we see Jesus doing, that is what God is doing. Is it God's will to heal? Question, did Jesus heal? If he did, then it's God's will. It says he healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. I happen to believe he's still doing that if we can believe him. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus answered, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What's hard about that? When you read through these Gospels and you see Jesus, you see God at work. Jesus Christ did not defy his Father. He said he did exactly what he was told to do. When he cast the devil out of that crippled woman and she stood up straight, if God put it on, Father God put it on her, then Jesus Christ would be out of the will to take it off. Amen? He was doing exactly what God told him to do, what his Father told him to do, what he wanted him to do. God anointed Jesus as a human to work his miracles by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus is in action, we see God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Verse 10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Why wouldn't you have authority over demons and devils if he lives in you? Read that again. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, in Jesus Christ, who is the head of all principalities and powers. You see, if the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him and he dwells in us, then the fullness of the Godhead, the full potential of the power of God dwells in us. John 14, 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Can you say amen? Amen. All that he is and all that he has dwells in us, and we release power by faith. Jesus, according to your faith, so be it unto you. That's why it's so important for you to understand this and know who Christ is and know he lives in you and know who you are because he has redeemed you from the old slave master. Well, the devil's beating up everybody else. I guess I'm next. I guess I'm not. Because I know the authority I am. And it's hard to argue with somebody who really walks in victory. That doesn't mean you don't get hit really hard. It means that you win because you believe he's going to enable you to win. I never mean to imply you're not going to have any hard times. The devil's going to try his best to hit you upside the head with two before, and you're going to have to believe God to deliver you and to heal you and to restore you. You got to believe that's God's will. Hey, you live in a war zone. Did you not understand that from my series on spiritual warfare? You live in a war zone. But my Bible says I can walk through the fire, not be burned. What does that mean? Not be destroyed. Doesn't mean I'm not going to feel the heat. It means I'm going to be able to get through it. Amen. If you're going to get excited, get really excited. Okay. So all that he is and all that he has dwells in us for sure. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world because Jesus said so. He said, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, faith says, I believe it. You see, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified or vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. The mystery was so great that most of the world can't believe it, but we must believe it. We must believe it if we're going to be born again and make it to heaven and walk in victory on the way. John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus came from heaven. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Everything Jesus did, including healing and deliverance, is the will of God. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. You see that? But the will of him who sent me, which would be Father God. Everything Jesus did, including healing and deliverance, is the will of God. He's still doing the Father's will, but doing it through us who believe. And he's the one who said, not me, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he'll do. Why can I do the works that he did? Because he lives in me. And because he operated as a man, then he can anoint me by the same Holy Spirit to operate and do operate the way he did and do what he did. John 6:48. And if you just look at the disciples, they did exactly the works Jesus did. Amen. They were humans. I am, John 6:48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Verse 50, this is the bread, life-giving life-giving bread which comes down out of heaven. And that's one reason we share in communion, because it's celebrating the bread that came down from heaven and took our stripes that we might be healed. This is the bread, life-giving bread, which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Christmas is a celebration of the life giver. That's what Christmas is supposed to be about. Hebrews 1:1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers. Now here is a real key. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. So now when we see Jesus, we can see God. He took on flesh to reveal the nature and the character and the love and the compassion of God. It says Jesus was moved with compassion. And it says even when he was healing people, he was moved with compassion and healed them. I believe he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the devil's attacking me with sickness, disease, failure, poverty, anything else, I believe he's moved with compassion. And if I put my faith in him, he'll help me. Because he's a God of compassion. You see, we can only know God by revelation. He has to reveal himself to you. You cannot really discern salvation by looking at the moon. Did anybody see the moon last night? Boy, it was beautiful, bright. Leaves going off the trees so you could see it really plain. And I was just thinking, oh, how great God is. Look, just that one great miracle. But I could never be born again by looking at the moon. The only way you're going to know Jesus is if he reveals himself to you. If you're feeling a call, a drawing to come to him, he says, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And if you feel that drawing, you better get to him. Because he may not always be drawing you. We can only know God by revelation, God revealing himself to me. That's why I can preach many of these things with such confidence. Not only has he revealed himself to me, he's revealed much of his word to me. And it's no longer up here, it's here. Faith is a substance, evidence, and knows so. And that comes from revelation. Am I telling you something today? But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. We can only know God by revelation. Jesus came to reveal God and his truth to us. He revealed God through his power, his compassion, and through his teaching. I still go by his teaching. How about you? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Now let's look at that. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's read it the way it's really intended. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. It's exactly what it means. So how did God create him? He didn't. He just was incarnated with human flesh and came and lived among us so we could see him and he could really reveal us to us the will of God and teach us. And to teach us the truth of God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, but he did not have a body. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, through Jesus Christ. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus was not created by God. He is eternal with God. His body was created in the womb, just like all human bodies. But in spirit, he is co-eternal with Father God. That's a pretty big difference. The Spirit of the Son that was eternal with God went into a human body, and he is called Jesus. Jesus is a spirit in a body, very much the same as you are a spirit in a body. You are me. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Son of God, by becoming human and dwelling among us, revealed the power, the truth, and the character of God. God loves you. He cares about you. Well, how do you know? Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ. Matthew 17:2, the disciples saw his glory in the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at this. And he was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. I believe he would have looked like this all the time if he had not emptied himself. That this one moment he allowed them to see him in his glory. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as snow, and like to scare them to death. Boy, they never seen him look like that before. And one of these days, we're going to see him like that too. Amen. You see, but he emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges and lived and worked as a human. The Holy Spirit that anointed him anoints you to live life and live godly. Matthew 16:15, he, Jesus, asked, who do you say I am? Now look at this. This is how you really know him. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. You see, the baby lying in a manger is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so how did Peter know that he was Christ, the Son of the living God? The Father revealed it to him. How do you know that he's the Son of God? Why did you put your faith in him? Because he revealed himself to you, and you know that you know that you know that you know he's God and he lives in you, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Or do you? Okay. It's by revelation. You didn't just get smart one day and say, I'm going to get saved. No, the Holy Spirit drew you in, and inside you begin to know, begin to have a really know-so that this man is the Son of God, and you put your faith in him, and now you're saved, born again, on your way to heaven. And if you believe the rest of the Bible, you can take authority over demons and devils, sickness and disease, failure and poverty. The same Jesus Christ that saved you can deliver you from the old slave master, the devil, and all of his tricks and curses. How did Peter know? The Father revealed it to him. How do I know that? Because Jesus said so. Okay. Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Amen. See, this is a, if you want to call it religion, this is a way of revelation. This is the way you live, by revelation. The revelation that he's the Son of God. Revelation that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. Revelation that you have power because he lives in you. It all comes as a revelation. And that's what produces faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a revelation the Lord puts in here. You can have a revelation you're healed, revelation delivered, revelation you know that you're going to get a good job, and you never cast away that revelation, that confidence. Once you get it, you believe it until you got it in hand. It's called faith. Yes. Are y'all still out there? Amen. Oh, there you are. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, it can't be that easy. Well, yes, it can. Once you have a know-so that he's really the Christ, you just say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I confess my sins, ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, come into my life, change me. You don't need a preacher praying for you. You just need to get that know-so and believe it and act on it by confessing him as Lord. But how do I act on it? Confess him as Lord. Yeah. I make you the Lord of my life right here, right now. Jesus is Lord, And we must confess him as Lord. Jesus is, say this, Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus,
say it.
Is my Lord.
One more time. Jesus is my Lord. You see, Jesus is Lord, and we must confess him as Lord. In John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus replied, "This is the work, the service that God asked of you." I did a whole series of about 4 or 5 sermons on this. Jesus replied, "This is the work, the service that God asked of you, that you believe in the one whom he sent." That's your work. That's your work. Put your faith. It's not being good. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not making a New Year's resolution. It's putting your faith totally in him. And when you do, he makes you righteous before God. You put your faith totally in him for health and healing and deliverance. Totally in him. Yes, he uses doctors, but God gets the credit for it. Who created the doctors? Our work is to believe the mystery of Jesus Christ. Our work is to believe in the one whom God has sent and believe everything he said. When he said, asking, keep on asking, and everyone asking, keeps on asking, receives, I believe that. Do you? The average Christian don't seem to believe that. But I believe if I ask and keep on asking, I will receive. Amen. It may not be exactly what I'm praying for, but it'll be something better. Amen. When I was in seminary, I was praying for a blonde, and God gave me a brunette. Can you say amen? I thought I wanted that blonde, but I didn't. I wanted Dottie, that brunette. So a lot of times you may be praying for one thing, and God just gives you what he wants, and that's the way I want it. How about you? I always pray, God, thy will be done. I hear people say, well, if you're praying for a car, pray for the exact color and size and everything, you know. And I don't. I say, God, give me the perfect vehicle for me. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I don't know what he knows. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, people are not predestined to hell or heaven, it's whosoever. I said people are not predestined to hell and heaven, and people say so, denying the word of God, because here's what it says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this is not a fairy tale. This is not just idle words. This is our soul's salvation, this man, Jesus Christ. Our faith for salvation and everything else has to be totally in him. Amen. According to your faith, so be it unto you. Who said that? Jesus Christ himself. Whosoever believeth has eternal life. Believe and continue to believe. Do not allow Satan to deceive you. Continue to believe in him as the man. The righteous man. Do not listen to demons and devils. Believe this word. The Bible says when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. How did the eternal Son of God become human and live and die on earth? He was born of a woman just like you were, and he is the image of God because the Spirit in him was and is God. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Let's stand.